This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. More than half a century ago, a West Virginia newspaper columnist who had been covering several mysterious sightings suddenly shifted her attention to a massive tragedy. But were they related?
I could easily change the name of my column to Where the Bodies Mingle, since the worst disaster ever to hit Point Pleasant struck with a flash Friday when the Silver Bridge collapsed.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is provided by Hope Gas, committed to the growth and development of West Virginia to strengthen the community. Information at wvisforhope.com. Citizen groups are continuing their opposition to a microgrid energy facility in Tucker County. Chris Schultz has more.
Tucker United, West Virginia Highlands Conservancy, and Friends of Blackwater are appealing to the state's Intermediate Court of Appeals to get more information about the proposed Ridgeline Power Plant in Tucker County. Olivia Miller of West Virginia Highlands Conservancy says information important to public safety, like emissions data and design details, are blacked out on the company's permit application.
From the start, the project has raised a lot of concerns, not just because of its potential pollution and size, but also because of how little the public has been allowed to know about it.
This filing comes on the heels of a separate legal action last month when citizen groups challenged the Department of Environmental Protection's approval of the Ridgeline Air Quality Permit, also citing excessive secrecy. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Chris Schultz in Morgantown.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:52. Increasing clouds today with gusty wind, and there's a slight chance of rain, highs in the 60s. Support for WVPB is provided by Dutch Miller Subaru in Charleston. Dutch Miller Automotive is proud to be dedicated to multiple community service initiatives and local charities. More about our team and the Subaru Love Promise at DutchMillerSubaru.com. Yesterday, we heard the story of a local journalist, Mary Heyer, and how she wrote about and followed the story of the Mason County Monster in 1966. For the second half of the story, we learn about Heyer's coverage of an even bigger story to come up the very next year. News director Eric Douglas continues the story.
On April 2nd, in her Where the Waters Mingle column, Heyer discussed continued sightings of both the monster and UFO sightings. She noted other communities are having watch parties looking for them.
Friday, John Keel of New York, a well-known ufologist, lecturer, and writer, and I appeared on the Jackie Alblinger Show on WCHS-TV in Charleston and discussed recent sightings of unidentified flying objects in West Virginia.
There were a few additional stories in the Athens Messenger and a few more sightings claiming the monster and a UFO appeared to make a rendezvous in midair. But things seemed to die down. Heyer's columns returned to normal. She looked at historical occurrences and social activities in town. Her September 10th column would turn out to be fateful.
39 years ago, when the Silver Bridge was dedicated on August 2nd, 1928, it was a gala affair, according to a story in the State Gazette published at that time in Point Pleasant. Perhaps it was not anticipated that in 40 years, it would hardly be sufficient to take care of the traffic on the heavily traveled U.S. Route 35 and the traffic between Ohio and West Virginia towns. Today, the State Road Commission is tearing apart the right side of the approach to the bridge on the West Virginia side to widen it.
Just 3 months later, on December 18th, she was writing about the Silver Bridge again, but there was no discussion of celebration. 3 days before, on December 15th at 5 p.m., the bridge collapsed into the Ohio River. The final death toll was 46 people.
I could easily change the name of my column to Where the Bodies Mingle, since the worst disaster ever to hit Point Pleasant struck with a flash Friday when the Silver Bridge collapsed, sending dozens of people to a water grave. I am sure we could never pick a time for tragedy, but I've heard it over and over that it's so much worse at Christmas time.
In another column dated December 19th, Heyer wrote,
I personally interviewed some of those who were rescued from the waters of the Silver Bridge tragedy here Friday night. And while their physical wounds will be healed, mentally, they will relive this tragedy the rest of their lives.
In Heyer's Christmas Eve column, she wrote,
Friday, people began to relax after working endless hours since the tragedy. Many said they still could not conceive that fact that the once heavily traveled bridge on 6th Street is no longer there. December 15th will always be remembered as a Black Friday.
On the second anniversary of the bridge collapse, Heyer wrote a remembrance. The headline was, Reporter Regrets Her Biggest Story.
Every reporter, after years in the news writing business, has a few stories that stand out in the memory, making deeper impressions than the hundreds of run-of-mill articles you write. There may be murders, fires, campaigns for worthy causes, or a feature about an outstanding person. I have some of those myself. But the one that burned deepest into my memory, leaving an indelible mark, was the one I wish I never had to report. That's the Silver Bridge disaster.
On December 16th, 2 years and a day after the collapse, Heyer's column, with a slightly changed name to Where Waters Mingle, discussed the recent dedication of the new Memorial Bridge as a replacement to the Silver Bridge. The event was attended by the governors of Ohio and West Virginia, along with state and federal officials. She wrote of hearing a little boy talking about the event afterwards. She reported the boy said,
I'm not going to tell the teacher I was sick today because I missed school. I'm going to tell the truth. I attended this dedication because I thought it was important. I seen a lot of dignitaries and people and the new bridge, and I think it was educational, and I learned a lot. And, you know, this new bridge is progress. We just had to have it.
And she wrapped it up with a personal thought.
As I sit here in my office tonight and look out across 6th Street, there is hardly a person working on the street and very few cars passing by, and my memories go back to 2 years ago, a few hours after the bridge collapsed. What a difference tonight than that night. I have all the compassion for those who lost their loved ones that fatal night, and I shall never forget. I am happy that we have a new bridge across the Ohio.
A few weeks later, into the start of 1970, there was a small blurb in the paper noting that she was admitted to Holzer Medical Center in Gallipolis, Ohio, with difficulty breathing and a slight case of pneumonia. 4 weeks after that, Mary Heyer died. Her obituary was published on February 16, 1970. It noted her column was widely read and that there was no story she wrote more about than the Silver Bridge. The masthead editorial in the paper began simply, Mary Heyer is gone. 5 years later, in March of 1975, John Keel published his book, The Mothman Prophecies, about the Mason County Monster. That's where he made the connection between the Silver Bridge collapse and the appearance of the Mothman as a warning. He dedicated the book to Heyer.
To hear the complete story, visit our website at wvpublic.org. Thanks to the Athens Messenger for their online archives. Bill Lynch voiced the initial news story, and Liz McCormick performed the voice of Heyer. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University and Marshall University School of Journalism and Mass Communications. Maria Young produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning.